Well, this week it'll be called Don't Stop Believin'. Mm-hmm. That's right. Come on, let's sing it. Nathan, you lead us. Don't stop. I know you listen to the Journey song on the radio. I know you turn it up a little bit when you hear that song. Don't stop believing. And we will be reading a few scriptures this morning and from two different parts of the Bible, and we will unpack it and take a look. First one is Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, and then we will read Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Let's start with Luke 18. It says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Sounds like a nice guy. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. I love Jesus. I love the way Jesus taught. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Listen to what he says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Will he keep ignoring their plea? I tell you, Jesus says, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Amen. That's good news. Let's go to Matthew 15, verse 21. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. I have no idea how to pronounce those towns, but it was a Gentile region. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. It's amazing. Even the Gentile woman knew when there's a devil in the house. Amen? Knows when the devil's up to something. Some of you are like, I think the devil's got my kid too, and we need to get some hands laid on him. Anyway, that's not a funny joke in church. But we can bring Judah up to lay hands on him, can't we? Oh, Lord Jesus. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. That sounds like a pretty nice experience, right? With the Lord. Doesn't say anything. Disciples are like, scram, get out of here. Oh, thanks a lot. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. How many know that's the best prayer sometimes that you got? If you can just yell, help, you've got a good prayer on your hands. And he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the little dogs. Ouch. Yes, Lord, she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that very moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that your word is rich with wisdom and it's rich with encouragement. It's rich with instruction. And Lord, as we gather together and as we seek to hear from you, I pray that the Spirit would speak. I pray that you would speak the words of heaven, God, and declare the oracles of God, that we might receive a word from you that would fall in our hearts, God, and that we would protect and guard that seed, that it would grow into a mighty harvest, that our faith would be nourished and that our faith would be strengthened, that we could be a people that are fully complete and lacking in nothing and walking in faith with you, God. Lord, I pray these things over each and every person. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You know, I got two boys. I got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. Bless their little hearts. And they're giving me a new perspective of what Jesus meant when he said that we have to have childlike faith. Because, you know, I always thought of it as just kind of, you know, be this sort of starry-eyed, believable person. But does anybody have a child that is incredibly persistent when it comes to asking for something they want? There's three of us. Hang around my house. I can't tell you the persistency. Now, I don't know, maybe it's just our kids, but the persistency of my boys is unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. And I started thinking, maybe this is what Jesus meant by childlike faith. Amen? Where there's something about a no that just doesn't register with my boys. It doesn't matter that I said no. It doesn't matter that I said no. It doesn't matter that, you know, they want to go, if they want a toy, they want to get something to eat, or they want to go to the park. And, you know, we could be out in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere, 100 miles away from the nearest town, and they would still be asking, can we stop and get some food and go to a park? It doesn't matter where we are, what the circumstances are. They don't stop believing that I might just say yes. You know what I mean? It's like somehow they think if they keep asking, they'll get it. You know, I have to say, they begin to wear on you after a while, don't they? My boys get things that I originally intended in saying no on. Come on now. I know I'm not the only one, and you feel like a bad parent. And now I'm realizing it's biblical. You know what? You wore me out, son. God bless you. Here's a toy. Great is your faith, Judah. The childlike faith persisted. But there's something to the art of persistency in our prayers and in our faith. And it's not because we serve a God who doesn't want to bless us and we have to convince him to bless us. Come on now. It's because we serve a God who does want to bless us. But sometimes we give up in our faith and we stop believing and we stop asking because we didn't get the answer when and how we expected to get it. Can I get an amen? Amen. So God is saying, you got to understand and know the heart of your Father and realize that he is a Father who wants to give you good gifts, who will give you good gifts. After all, if your heavenly or your earthly Father knows how to give a good thing to your kids, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give you good things? Is he going to give you a scorpion? Come on. Hey, Dad, can I have some breakfast? Here you go, son. Die. Like, I know, right? Well, if our normal fathers that make mistakes, we're just normal people. If we're good to our kids, you know, we love to buy them an ATV. Come on now. I want to buy my boy an ATV if I could afford it, right? I want him to have a car when he turns 16 if I could afford it, which, you know, God can make it happen, right? I want them to have good things. I want them to go to McDonald's so we don't have to make dinner. You know what I mean? I love those toys that are 50 cents that they think is like $1 million to them. You know, it's the best thing ever. You know, you can throw your kids out in the yard with nothing and they'll figure out something to do, right? If you don't got money, give them a couple sticks and they're going to play a game and have a lot of fun. I love that about kids. Well, Jesus teaches this parable about the woman, the widow who comes to this unjust judge. And the reason why he's using a parable of an unjust judge is to draw a comparison. It's kind of like if your earthly fathers bless you, how much more? How much more if an unjust judge will eventually bless the woman because of her persistency, how much more is our Father who wants to bless us, will bless us if we're persistent? And there's something to this idea of persistency that is tied to our faith that we have to grab a hold of. Because if we don't understand persistency, we will become wavery-minded. And James said, let anyone who's wavery-minded not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Because we jump one direction and it doesn't pan out the way we think, and then we jump another direction, and then we give up and we quit. And our faith and our persistency in what God is doing in our lives and what we're believing for makes a big difference. So let's go back to Luke 18 before we get to the to the woman who approached Jesus on his way to the Gentile region. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should what? Always pray and not give up. You would be surprised at how much attention in the Gospels is put towards this concept of praying and having persistency in our prayers. And it's not so much just a continuous prayer over and over, but it's a continuous belief. The reason why you're believing, the reason why you're reaching out to God is because you haven't stopped believing that he's good and that he wants to bless you and that he will bless you in a matter. Amen? So the whole point of the parable is that we don't give up. And that we always pray. I want us to be a community that starts praying so much that people get sick of how much we pray. They're tired of the prayer meetings. They're tired of the, you know, how many times we pray and, you know. Have you ever had somebody who sends those little messages? You know, can you pray for me for this? And you're just like, praying, exclamation point. And then you realize 2 hours later you forgot and then you have to go back and pray. Oh yeah, I said I was praying. I better pray for that. I'm learning to just pray for it right on the spot so I'm not lying, right? Because I want them to know I'm with you. I'm believing with you. I want us to be, let's just start texting each other all the time. Will you pray for me? This is what's going on. Share it in your group. Share it with your pastor. Share it with your friends. Share it with people that you're believing with. Hey, pray for me. We're going through this situation. Pray for me. We're believing for this thing. Let's become a community of prayer, of continuous prayer, of prayer day and night, a prayer where we don't give up because things don't look good. We don't give up because it's, you know, we're in the valley, and we don't give up because we're on the mountaintop. Because sometimes when you're on the mountaintop, it's easy to stop caring. It's easy to stop believing. It's easy to stop praying in persistency because everything's good, right? See, you know, God will just throw a little monkey wrench in there to get you back on your knees, amen? We have to learn to pray in the mountaintops. So he says, do not give up. Now, there's a reason for this, and there's a reason why Jesus crafted this parable in this genius way that he did. There's a couple reasons why I think people give up, and they stop believing, they stop pressing, they stop praying. The first one is because they wonder if God even cares. They wonder if God cares, because if God cares, our natural instinct is to pray and then, you know, get an immediate answer. Come on now. And because we need an immediate answer to affirm whether or not God cares about us or not, or cares what we're asking for, or cares about these details in our life, we begin to question whether he cares based on how quickly he answers us. Right? Come on now. Come on. Next verse, please. You're no problem. So he says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God, what? Nor cared. Interesting, isn't it? Because obviously God is not the unjust judge, because God is just and God cares. So why would Jesus use a parable talking about an unjust judge who doesn't care? And I think the reason is, it's because sometimes we think God doesn't care. Amen? Sometimes we feel like God doesn't care. And so Jesus uses this parable talking about an unjust judge who doesn't care about people precisely because God does care about people. And he wants us to know, because he does care about you, don't think he doesn't care about you. Because when you know God cares about your prayer and he cares about the cry of your heart, that will be faith that's motivating you to keep on keeping on praying. Amen. Amen. If you're asking yourself, does God even care? I mean, I've been struggling to pray on this matter. I've been praying on this thing. I feel like God's not listening to me. Now listen, I'm your pastor, and I feel like that. And if I feel like that sometimes, I know you all feel like that sometimes. Come on now. Sometimes that's the way we feel. God, you know, have you forgotten about this little detail? Are you realizing how hard this is and the struggle and the needs we have here and there? God, why won't you just, you know, we want an immediate answer. And if we don't get it, we start to just subtly questioning, oh, so slightly wondering if God's attentive to this thing. Well, there's another reason. And that is sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers right when we pray for them, does he? Sometimes it's not whether or not God cares. Sometimes we think he's flat refusing us. Right? So he uses this parable about the unjust judge. He says, for some time he what? Refused. There is a delayed gratification that comes with faith and prayer. And we're not going to be able to put our prayer in the microwave, push pop, and the popcorn pops, and here it comes out in 90 seconds. But real faith and grit believes God even when there's delay in his answer. Come on now. And what we do is we mistake the delay for a no. Amen. This is what happened with Abraham, isn't it? God promised Abraham a child. And because it wasn't happening, Abraham tried to make it happen on his own. Come on now. Yeah. He tried to, you know, he turned on the stove, he put the popcorn on. These are weird analogies, but whatever. And he tried to make the popcorn on his own. And this is what we do. We're believing God. And there's delay in what he's doing. So we just, you know what, I better step in here. And this is our instinct. And we're going to have to figure this out now because God hasn't stepped in here. Yeah. Come on now. We're going to have to figure out this financial thing. We're praying. We're believing. You know what? I'm going to have to figure this out now. Okay, you know, what's going on in our home, our kids, our church or whatever? We better figure this out. We're going to have to figure it out because God doesn't seem to be doing anything here. And so we struggle with wondering if God is attentive or if he cares. And sometimes we believe that God's just given us a no. And is this not what happened with Martha and Mary when their brother died? And they told Jesus when he got there, if you would have been here a couple days ago, Jesus, do you know that Jesus intentionally delayed in going back and let Lazarus die? Isn't that interesting? Why does God allow us to wallow around in this season of waiting for him to answer? We know that he's heard us, but he doesn't answer us. He doesn't respond. He seems silent. Have you ever been in a season where it seems like God's not hearing anything you have to say? Where you feel like your prayers hit the ceiling and come right back down and, you know, knock you on the head. Where you start to wonder, God, you know, are you gonna bust through on this situation? I mean, come on. We've been praying on this, we're believing on this, and there's a temptation to stop believing. It's not that we, you know, we renounce Jesus or we don't believe in Jesus or anything like that. It's just that, you know, doubt begins to settle in on the things that God has promised us and the prayers and the petitions of our heart. And in extreme cases, we start to wonder if he cares and we start to believe he doesn't answer. Well, he doesn't answer my prayers. He might answer the pastor's prayers. You know, and Sister So-and-so is so blessed. She's always so happy. You know, God probably really loves her. He probably really wants to bless her. But me, it doesn't work for me. My prayers, not working out. So Jesus gives this parable. And I love the next verse in verse 4. He says, yet because this widow, what? Keeps bothering me. Have you ever felt like you're starting to bug God? Come on now, let's be honest. If not, start bugging God more. If you're a person who's always worried about bothering somebody, start bothering God. Start going to him, and it's not a repetitious prayer because you're doubting. It's a prayer because you're believing.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a prayer and a posture of faith that says, God, I'm going to keep bothering you because I believe and I know that you're going to come through for me. And I haven't given up on this, God, and I'm going to continue to show my faith. I'm going to continue to pray, and I'm going to continue to believe that you're going to move mightily in my life. Amen. So because this widow keeps bothering me, the judge says, I will see that she gets justice and that she won't eventually come and attack me. Now, yeah, I don't think God's worried about us attacking him exactly, but you get the point. Keep bothering God. Now, let's transfer back over to this Canaanite woman. Because something pretty similar happens with her, where probably the average person would just give up, guaranteed would give up. But Jesus uses this woman and this experience and this altercation with her to teach and to showcase her faith. And he pushes it to the point where her great faith came out with flying colors. Amen? Three things that happened that probably all of us or most of us would have just turned around, gave up, put our heads down. Three things. First one is that when she prayed, the Bible says Jesus did not answer a word to her. And not only that, his disciples said, hey, just send her away. Tell her to get out of here. She's bothering us. You know, we need to get rid of this. This is getting annoying. She's bothering me. Come on now. Could you imagine? You go to God, you go to Jesus, and he doesn't say anything to you. Have you ever come up out of prayer and thought to yourself, God, you didn't say anything to me? Translation, you must be upset, or translation, you must be not willing to deal with me in this situation, because if you would have spoke to me if you really cared about this. How many times is God silent? And because he's silent, we begin to wonder about this prayer. We begin to question our own selves, don't we? Is there something wrong with me? God, search my heart. God searched your heart, and he made it born again, and he gave you a new heart, and he took out that heart of flesh and gave a stone and gave you a heart of flesh, didn't he? And you're born again with a new nature, and Jesus lives on the inside of me. So faith says, just because Jesus didn't answer me and he didn't speak a word back to me doesn't mean that he's not going to answer my prayer.
Amen.
Amen. The next thing that happens with this woman is pretty powerful. Jesus answered her and says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And he's basically, you know, he's with his disciples. It's a teaching moment. And this is true. He was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel until he opened up the pasture to all the Gentiles. And now he'd already been doing miracles, and she likely had heard about miracles that Jesus had performed for the Gentiles. But Jesus is doing this on purpose. How many of you know Jesus will do things in your life on purpose to develop something in you? And this is what he's doing. He is bringing out of this woman, he is extracting out of this woman, not little faith, but great faith. And he's showcasing this faith to his disciples. So he tells her, doesn't say a word, they tell her to scram, you know, and then he says, look, I wasn't sent for this woman. Have you ever felt like when you go to God for something that you're not the right person to be blessed? Well, come on now. Surely I'm not the person that God wants to bless. Surely I'm not the person that God sees and wants to bless with this opportunity or this situation. I'm not the candidate for God's extravagant blessings. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe because of who I am. Maybe because of where I come from. Maybe because of my past. Maybe because of whatever situation or however we feel about ourselves. We are questioning whether Jesus came for other people. Jesus will bless other people, but he didn't come to bless me. Jesus wants to show us that he did come to bless you. And you are the candidate of his blessing. And his plan for you is moving forward and is active. And his affection and thoughts towards you are as numerous as the sand of the seashore. But sometimes it appears that we're not the candidate that Jesus really wants to crown with a blessing. We don't feel worthy for the blessing. We don't deserve the blessing. We didn't have the right pedigree for the blessing. We didn't come up in the pastor's Christian heritage or Christian home like other people. Come on now. We have a broken, messed up past. We've got issues and things that you know, I can't be used. I can't be used in this situation. God's not going to bless me in this direction. God's not going to bless my life in this way because I'm not the right candidate. Come on now. In fact, the fact is, because of you and who you are and where you come from, you're the perfect candidate for God to bless. So Jesus doesn't respond to her. Then he basically tells her, I didn't come to bless you. Now, do you think Jesus knew what the outcome of this interaction would be? Yes, of course. This is all done on purpose. But the woman doesn't give up. How many of us would have given up when Jesus didn't say anything? And then, you know, the church is like, yeah, get out of here, scram. You're not going to be blessed. That's basically what happened. His own followers. God's not going to bless you. Get out of here. We're not going to, your need's not going to be met by Jesus. You're not going to be blessed. She keeps persisting. Jesus basically says, nope, not going to do it. Not going to bless you. You're not the right person. This is all done on purpose. To show that he does bless the unexpected people. The third thing, he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the little dogs. Now, the Jewish people referred to Gentiles as dogs. And it was very derogatory because they were seen as spiritually unclean people. Jesus didn't call her a dog. He called her a little dog. It's an improvement. It is. I've read the commentary. It's definitely an improvement. And at this point, we have no idea the tonation of Jesus' voice. We don't know the nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you know, kind of the tongue-in-cheek, you know, expression that he very well and probably made towards her. At this point, this is this little interaction going on. They're walking along. He doesn't say anything. Then he says, you know, I didn't come to send you. Then he's just like, hey, yeah, but, you know. And he knows the faith that's in this woman. He knows the persistency in this woman. And so he makes another point. You don't deserve a blessing. You're unclean. You're not part of the family of God. You're outside. You're an outcast. You don't belong here. You don't come from the right lineage. And you don't deserve this. How many of us give up because we feel like we don't deserve a blessing? Come on now. Come on. Look, there's no way I deserve this after everything I've done and all of that. And we measure God's goodness based on our goodness. But God's not good because you're good. God's good because he's good. And God blesses you because God blesses. And God chooses who he blesses. And God's chosen you to bless. And he's put his favor and blessing on your life. Not because of your goodness or your pedigree or because you're cute or so smart or you have so much to offer him. He blesses you because he loves to bless people. And if you can approach God and have faith and you can believe God's goodness, and you can believe his character is directed towards you, and his character wants to bless you, and you will persist through the doubts of silence, and persist through the doubts of your background, and persist through the doubts that you don't believe or you don't deserve God's blessing, you will find God's blessing making its way towards your home. That's actually way better than you guys are clapping. That's really good news. Jesus, like, it's not right to bless you. Knowing all along the end of this story. Isn't this beautiful? In verse 27, she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Oh my God. I'm going to cry if I'm not careful. God, I know how good you really are. And I know that even the dogs get a blessing from their master. Even the scum of the earth, even a sinner like me, even some an outcast like me, even I can be a recipient of your goodness because I know how good you are. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a faith that understands the character of God. This is a faith that recognizes, I understand I don't deserve this. I understand I'm not part of the Jewish heritage. I understand I'm like Rahab the Gentile prostitute. But I have faith that you are good and you want to bless even a worm and a scumbag like me. Now, pardon me. I'm trying to build a dramatic understanding of this. Because this is how we can feel. Yeah, even the dogs can be blessed because of the extravagance of your blessings and goodness and grace. Even if I haven't been sitting at your table, Jesus, I haven't gone to church in 15 years. I don't pray enough, Jesus. You know what? No way I can be blessed. God is speaking to you who have a mindset that believes because you haven't gone to church enough or read your Bible enough or said enough good things about Jesus or because you hid behind, you know, you masked what you really believe because of peer pressure around people who are speaking derogatory language about Jesus and about Christians and about church and you were right along with them because you were embarrassed to stand up for Jesus. God is telling you that he still is going to bless you. And don't stop believing because of these matters. Continue to believe that he's good. Continue to believe that he's going to bless you. Continue to believe that he's going to answer your prayers, irrespective of what your past looks like. Verse 28, Jesus said to her, "Woman, gotta hand it to you. You have great faith." This is my point all along. You see, I want to show these disciples. I want to bring out, see, God wants to bring out the best in your faith. He wants to bless you when you feel like you don't deserve it the most. He wants to answer your prayers and show up for you in a way that will just surprise you, will shock you. He's going to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you can even ask or imagine. This is the heart of God towards you. Your request is granted, Jesus says. And her daughter was healed at that moment. There's a little scripture that I skipped that I want to bring your attention. You can come on up, Nathan. There's a point to this story that I've intentionally skipped over until now. Because I'm convinced that what happened with this woman was a complete setup by Jesus. And I'm convinced that what's happening in your life is a complete setup by God himself. I'm convinced that the silence that you're experiencing, I'm convinced that the no you think you have, I'm convinced that your opinion of yourself and your worthiness to be blessed is nothing short of a setup by God to blow your mind in how much he loves you. You see, in the verse, in the very beginning of this verse, in verse 21, it says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of the Gentiles. You see what's happening here? He left where he was ministering, and he went on essentially a 50-mile journey, about 80 kilometers, intentionally. And it doesn't say too much. It doesn't really allude too much to this, other than the fact that we know he went out of his way and he left the Jewish communities and purposefully and intentionally went into the Gentile region and had an encounter with this woman. And there's nothing else in the Gospels that indicate that anything else happened, because right after this, it says he went back to go minister again. In other words, this is exactly like the woman at the well. It wasn't the woman who went and found Jesus so her daughter could be healed. It was a setup. It was Jesus who went out of his way to go into the Gentile territory, to go to a people group who weren't supposed to be blessed, who didn't belong to the family of God, who weren't part of the heritage, who weren't part of the original plan. But Jesus was grafting in all people groups from all over the world, and he wanted everyone to know that he's going out of his way to bless the sinners, to bless the outcasts, to bless the Gentiles, and to bless all the peoples of the world. Because he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is a setup by God Almighty to show his blessings in your life. You say, I don't believe that. Then you don't know the heart of God. You don't know the heart of God. God is building in you a character of faith. That's why you're questioning whether he cares. That's why you feel like he's giving you a no. That's why there's a delayed response in your prayer, because he wants to reveal the glory of God in your life, and he wants to bring out of you a developed character of faith so that you can be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. You see, Jesus went to go find her. She didn't go to find Jesus. He went to her part of town. And Jesus is in your part of town. Yeah, me? Yeah, you. Even me listening online, even me watching this video. Yep, you too. It's a faith setup. Can we show God that we believe enough in his character to resist the doubts and the voices and the delays and the no's and all these things we think we're seeing, because we know that he's good and we know that there's at least one crumb that can fall from the master's table into my plate so that I can receive the goodness of the Lord myself? In Luke 18:7, to go back to the parables, my last thought. Jesus concludes this parable, the widow who came to the unjust judge, and says, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Who do what? Who cry out to him day and night. You see, the reason why you're in this season is so that you can start to cry out to God every day and every night. And the reason why you're stretched, and the reason why it's silent, and the reason why you feel that you're in a desert land experience, it's because he's setting up your faith, and he's setting you up to grow, And he's pushing you and stretching you into territories that will cause you to know that there's a God who loves you and there's a God who's on your side. Because when you're crying out day and night, by golly, that's because you need him like you've never needed him before. It says, will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Look, when God decides to move in your life, it's quick. When your faith has been teed up, when your heart cry is genuine and earnest, and you go back to God and you say, God, I need a breakthrough and I need your blessing. I need to see that you're in my life and I need to know that you still affirm me and you're still blessing me. He moves quickly. Amen.